We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours.
Exciting.
And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hi. Hey. Pleasure to be with you on this fine day. How you doing? Good to be with you. Tasty day today. It's Monday, October 20th, on which the day that this podcast is being generated for all of those with ears. How you doing? Good to see you. Well, yeah, the fall is here. Temperatures are dipping in the northeast to the 50s on average, 55 maybe. And it's feeling like the fall. And in the area in which we podcast from, the southeastern part of Massachusetts, the leaves are actually at peak. Almost kind of. Maybe not, but probably. Yes, they are. No, not really. Well, maybe they are. Hey, don't talk to me like that. Well, you're acting stupid. Well, don't say the leaves are peaking. Well, I think they are, but they're not. Well, then you should take a close look. Well, don't tell me what to do. I'll tell you what to do if I have to. Because apparently you can't take a look at the leaves and figure out if they're peaking or not. Oh, I know what peaking is. I've peaked before. Yeah, you've peaked before. That's a problem with you. Hey, don't talk to me like that. Who do you think you are talking to me like that? Well, you got a problem with me. You want to take it outside? Yeah, take it outside. You can look at the leaves and see if they're peaking or not. Hey, that's a low blow. Hey, don't tell me what a low blow is. I know what a low blow is. I've had a low blow before. Yeah, what's your name? Hey, don't talk to me like that. How you doing? Thank you for the many cards and letters concerned about the cold that I apparently got toward the end of last week. Thank you so much. The letters have been flooding into my studio to the point where I can't even walk in this damn place. Thanks to all your letters and cards and everything. That's sarcastic, by the way. Nobody gives a crap. Big deal. It's a cold, not Ebola. Hey, did he say that word? Did he say Ebola live on the air? Come on, don't do that. That scares people. Don't scare people like that. Don't tell me what to scare people. You're scaring people by telling me the leaves are peaking. I didn't say the leaves are peaking. Yes, you did. You said the leaves are changing color and they were peaked in southeastern Massachusetts, which is where you podcast from. That's what you said. Well, I don't know if I really said it that way. Well, I can play the tape back and I prove that you said it that way. Whew. Wow, it's getting really heavy in here today. Whoa. Be careful what you say because these guys are on you like flies on you know what. Yeah, you know what. Anyway, thank you for all the cards and letters, which you didn't send. I'm feeling so much better today. Thank you for asking. Oh, thank you immediately for asking me how I was. I'm feeling so much better. I sound a little nasally, but I think that's sexy. So I'm going to do the nasal thing. Infinitum. Because it's sexy. There's nothing sexier than a woman who has a cold. What? What do you mean, snot all over your face? No, I'm not talking about that. Well, I'm arguing with myself again. What's going on with that? When a woman gets a raspy voice, it is sexy. I don't care what you say. Well, I do care what you say. Actually, I really don't. But it's pretty sexy when a woman gets a raspy voice, unless it's from smoking cigarettes all their lives. Then it's not so sexy. Did you ever go one of those slut parlors? Well, slot parlors, I mean, in a casino, and you got the ladies there who have been smoking since they were 2 years old, like fetus smoke. And they're sitting at those machines there, those slut machines, waiting for a couple of cherries to come up like they have been all their life, like their husbands have been. And they're sitting there, and they can't smoke anymore in some of the casinos, but they sure sound like they've somehow got it intravenously still going. And they're sitting at the slot machines, hey, Betty, can I have another nickel? Hey, Betty, hey, Betty. Yeah, and that's when they're feeling good. Oh, man, huh? Smoking does stuff to you. Don't smoke. Don't smoke. It's addicting. It can't not be addicting. It's addicting on two levels. One, it's addicting because of that nicotine. And the second is that it's a social habit. It's a physical habit. It's a dependency. Not necessarily on the nicotine. It can be just on the action of smoking at all, of bringing that damn thing to your mouth and puffing on it. People bite their nails. There's no nicotine in nails, is there? I don't think so. Any more than I know the leaves are peaking. By the way, do you know what they call the activity of looking at the leaves change colors? They call it leaf peaking, I believe. What the fuck is that about? Speaking of peaking leaves, oh my goodness, did you hear about what happened in Keene, New Hampshire over the weekend? Yeah, not so keen up there. I actually went last year to Keene, New Hampshire in the fall because we were watching the leaves change, the leaf peaking or whatever, and I just love that. I don't know why I like that so much. What's wrong with me? On many levels. Went up there to look at the leaves peeking and got a nice little hotel room in a place that was one block away from the main drag in Keene, New Hampshire. And it's not just like a street like Route 1 or anything. It's a quaint little village circle street, and it's all the shops are so quaint and all the people just are quaint. And it's a college town, so it's very progressive, you know. There's like chic places, but everything was just perfectly nice. Well, you could feel like at 3 o'clock in the morning you could walk around and be perfectly safe, and just had a wonderful time. Stayed there, I think, for one night because there wasn't that much to do in Keene, New Hampshire, actually. It's not all that far away, but it is far away, but it's not all that far away. But a lovely time. And I was saying to my lovely person, I was saying, you know, we got to come next year because apparently they have a pumpkin festival where they take pumpkins, oddly enough, for a pumpkin festival. How odd is that? Take pumpkins. And they line the street with it in front of all the quaint little shops in the little downtown village area. And there's like thousands of pumpkins that line the street, and they're all individually carved and lit up at night. What a wonderful fall experience that would be. So we were going to make plans to go back for this big pumpkin weekend thing, but didn't do it for some reason. Perhaps it was kismet, or perhaps it was that we just forgot to do it. And it's expensive to stay up there during the pumpkin weekend, the pumpkin thing, lighting of the pumpkins. But anyway, didn't do it. And then come to find out, I'm listening to the news over the weekend. Oh my God, in Keene, New Hampshire, there were riots in the pumpkin streets for pumpkin weekend. And I go, oh my God, like what happened? Cars were overturned, literally. Windows smashed all the way up and down the street. Lampposts uprooted. Damage. Every pumpkin that was, every beautifully carved pumpkin for this festival was smashed. Horrible, horrible violence. And I'm thinking, in this little village of Keene, there was that kind of violence? And apparently, Keene State, or Keene, not so Keene College, is in the village of Keene, just like around a couple of corners. And apparently, over the past, they've been doing the Pumpkin Festival, like I think since 1995 or 1991. But over the past 3, 4, 5 years, college kids travel to Keene, to the Keene University there, college, and they party. They consider it now a party place for this particular weekend. So apparently, and every year they're having trouble at the college because kids from other colleges come up there and they just party. And you know what happens when kids party who are under 21 and can't drink? You know what they do? They drink. And they drank, and they drank, and they blew my house down, and they smashed my car down. And the cops went to the school, and they stopped the parties, but the kids didn't like that. So they got out onto the streets. They were still drunk. They got out onto the streets, went to the village where the pumpkins were in the afternoon, and started smashing pumpkins. This is like in broad daylight. They didn't give a shit because they were shit-faced. And they caused violence. And the cops came out and they made many arrests. And then at nighttime, the kids came out again, more kids. And that's when the real violence began and fires were set and just horrible, horrible stuff. And they had to call in the police from Massachusetts and from neighboring towns. Over 43 arrests were made, probably more than that. And now there's a question if whether this wonderful little village of Keene, New Hampshire, will ever have a pumpkin festival again, because A, it spurs violence, which is just the opposite of what they wanted, and B, tourists are not going to go there at all anymore. I mean, it was damn dangerous. I mean, tourists just walking around were like bottles were thrown at them and smashed in their faces and tons of people at the hospital. I mean, that could have been me. Oh my God, that could have been me or the people I was with. So bottom line, some of you college kids really suck. That's the bottom line. Like, what is up with you? What is up with you? That's what alcohol does? I'm sorry. I drank before I was 21. I've drank quite a bit after I was 21. And I never, ever, 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 ever felt violent because of the alcohol that I was drinking. And I didn't care who I was with. Alcohol doesn't affect me like that. But apparently in other people, it like makes them nasty, nasty drunks. And these kids can't handle their alcohol. And they get mad at the cops and they get mad at the town and they created this horrible scene. And the university there, or the college, Keene State, whatever it's called, Keene State, whatever, they say, oh, you know, I got to understand, it was maybe just a few of our students, but all this violence was done by kids from the outside. Bull crappy pool. It was your stupid kids. It was your college kids that maybe it wasn't them to begin with. Maybe it was visiting kids, but check your arrest records. I mean, it was your stupid kids. And in a nice gesture, the Keene College students, the good ones, the next day got some push brooms and just started cleaning up the downtown area as a showing to show everybody that, hey, it's not the college. We really sorry. We really care. Bottom line, man, college for 90% of the students is an educational experience. Pfft, yeah, right, I say that with half a joke. But for the 10% and probably even more, it's social party place. I mean, yeah, maybe they go to classes and stuff, but they're actually there to socialize and to test the waters and see how far they can push it and to do their drugs and to do their drinking. And you know it's true. Used to be college towns were just wonderful places. People like embraced college towns. Now, not so much. Not so much. Now there are problems. The police departments have to be beefed up. Violence occurs. I think it happens at almost every school, except for maybe College for the wonderful people who wear uniforms. I mean, that maybe it doesn't happen there. Maybe it does. I don't know. Probably other things happen there. I really don't know. But colleges are not necessarily a breeding ground for education. They're also a breeding ground for social misfits. And just because a kid's parents can afford to send them to college doesn't mean that they're good kids. So, I mean, I guess the lesson is, I don't know what the lesson is. Lesson is, don't go to the pumpkin festival in Keene, New Hampshire, because it's damn dangerous. And this isn't the first year this has happened. This has been the worst, and the one that made national news, but not the first time. And that is a gigantic, gigantic reading on the suck meter. We'll be right back.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Oh, no, it's not true. Certainly not true. You say bad words, not me. I'm a good boy. I don't smash pumpkins. It wasn't me that started the musical group Smashing Pumpkins. That was the start of it all. Musically condoning it. Wrong. My name is Ron Van Dam. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. It's a podcast kind of thing, which I kind of like because it leaves me no restrictions whatsoever. I can wear pants or not. Happen to be wearing pants right now, but that's of no business of yours whatsoever. It's inconsequential, actually. I don't even care if you're not wearing pants. To be honest with you, I think it would be a bonding situation if you didn't. Ladies. The great thing about the podcast thing is that any time of day when you're available, you can just listen to this on a regular basis as if it's a brand new show, only it's whenever you want it. And we do this thing every single day except for weekends, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, without fail, whether it's a holiday or not. I'm here, I'm doing it. And you might ask, why am I doing it? And I might ask myself the same question. Well, A, it's lucrative, actually. It's turned into a nice little deal. But on top of it, I'll tell this story until my last breath. I was in a terrestrial radio. That's the radio that you hear in your car and in your house. From 1990 through just this past July, when the station that I was with at the time, WXBR, went all Haitian on me. The owner was Haitian, a fine man. Actually, I like him very, very much. And he decided to make it Boston's first Haitian station. And I said, well, okay, but you must understand I do not speak Haitian and I don't relate like specifically to the Haitian community. It's not like I walk down the street and they go, oh, there's Ron Van Dam, my Haitian brother. They just don't do that. And I don't know why. I've certainly marketed myself to be such. So I did get an offer from another radio station in Boston. But at my tender age of 23, I decided, no, I've been doing this like for 24 years. Kind of maybe that's enough of this radio thing. Let's go with the future this time. Let's go with the podcasting. Let's go with the internet radio, where everything's going to end up anyway. And eventually internet radio will actually be on your car. It is now in the sense of Sirius and seriously and all that kind of stuff. But soon you'll be able to access anything on the internet through your car radio. Many of the models of this year's car and last year's cars actually have that feature already. So that's the wave of the future. Owning a radio station is a dangerous situation. There are so few radio stations in any given market in this country that actually are making any money. Many of them are struggling to survive. Others, the profit is minimal and leaving no room for growth. And expenses, such as tower sites and electricity, just get more and more expensive every day. So radio is kind of on its way out, especially AM radio. So realizing that, I decided to stick with the podcasting and build a podcasting empire to take over the world eventually and conquer the free world. And slowly but surely, and surely I thank you for your help, fine woman. We're doing that. We're getting there every day. We're growing in listenership, and we're connecting with other podcast networks across the country. And we actually have listeners in other countries, which is fascinating to me. I don't know why, it just is. Anyway, that's the back story. That's a story about my back. Of course, this is Metro South Podcasting, or ronvandam.com, or podbean/ronvandam, or iTunes, or TuneIn Radio, or Brockton, in brockton.com. There's just so many different ways to get us, although many people listen and still don't get us. And sometimes we take our act on the road. On Wednesdays, we're Charlie's Restaurant in the lovely city of Brockton. That's at the Open Mouth to Brockton High School. We do our shows there from 7:30 until 9 a.m. You can come down and say hello to us, have breakfast with us, but you buy your own breakfast. And there's various and sundry people that join me. Victoria Tori Wainwright is an excellent personality, and we do some radio together, and now I've started to do a little bit of television. She is a very stimulating young lady, and brings some nice things to the verbal table, the table of the verbals. As a matter of fact, this Thursday we're taping a session at the Easton Cable Station, where we will be doing cable radio on TV, and we'll be discussing the four questions in regards to the Massachusetts state ballot. There are going to be four questions on it. One of them, which is riveting, is should people over the age of 30 be allowed to speak? That's pretty much... I say people under the age of 30 should not be allowed to speak, and everybody over 30 years old should be able to speak. But that's one of the questions. Another one of the questions is, do you really need to change your oil after 3,000 miles, or can you stretch it to 5,000? That's question number two on the ballot this year, and I think it's pretty heavy. The next question is, should people on golf courses be allowed to wear orange pants? I say no. I say that's... it's a flagrant slap in the face to anybody that wears pants to actually wear orange pants in public. Some people actually wear orange checkered pants, orange and green. I mean, like, seriously? You're trying to blind America? I mean, are you trying to just be the laughingstock? You think you're cool? Because you're not. And I think people should know that, and people should know when they're not cool. I mean, I know when I'm not cool, and I feel it. I can feel it in my bones. But some people have a I don't know if I'm cool meter that just doesn't work. And we need to tell them that that is just wrong. I do also see some men over the age of 50 wearing white pants after Labor Day. Seriously, you can read about that in any given periodical. You're just not supposed to do that. That is like, that's like playing with a Ouija board. You just don't do it. It's just like a really bad deal. Wearing white pants after Labor Day or Label Day, wearing white pants after Labor Day will actually open the portals of hell. Oh, absolutely. You didn't know that, did you? Oh, it does. It does. Oh, it does. Oh, it does. It does. It seriously does. Oh, man. I think we're all looking for a miracle. Aren't we looking for something that... this is going to be a lead-in. This is... you know, I'm serious, man. You know, we got the Ebola thing going on. You got the ISIS. You got the Al Qaeda. You got the North Korea. You got the Israeli thing there going on there in the Middle East, and the, you know, with the Hamas and the, I mean, it's just like always, man. It's just always something. But everything clears up after time, and the Ebola thing will too. I really don't know. I'm not sure about the Ebola thing now because, I mean, I'm just like so confused. The CDC, the Government Center for Disease Control, actually is admitting that at the outset of the Ebola situation that they didn't really handle it all that well. And I'm saying to myself, oh, don't say that. It's really, you're kind of like not making me feel like real good about your effectiveness. Don't lie to me, but at the same time, doesn't mean I'm supposed to feel good about this. But we're being told by all sources and doctors and such that Ebola is not the kind of thing where If somebody with Ebola sneezes, you get Ebola. I mean, you have to actually be involved in their bodily fluids, etc. And these nurses, or this nurse that contracted the Ebola from the guy who died from the Ebola, the first and only case in the United States, death-wise, she was handling his bodily fluids before they really knew how involved this guy was in the Ebola situation. So it's not like she was just in the room and he breathed and she got Ebola. A guy with Ebola can be sitting on the subway with you or on the train, and you can be sitting next to the guy, and it doesn't mean that you're going to get Ebola. Now, don't go kissing and screwing the guy, but other than that, it doesn't spread like that. And that's the message that they're giving to everybody, and this thing can be contained. But like AIDS, you know, don't go screwing monkeys. You know what I'm saying? Just like, probably not a great idea. So a lot of people think it's going to take a miracle to get things going. But I'm telling you, I'm not sure. You're going to be all right. Yeah, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right, I think.
The one we've been waiting for. Time to open up the door. Oh, the miracle. My heart is beating fast. I can't seem to slow it down. It's too late to turn back. Open up the door. Why am I shivering? I can feel it fading fast. Well, for the first time I believe that I can finally
So yesterday, I'm driving down Rockland Street in the lovely city of Brockton, and I use all those terms loosely, and it's nighttime, and these days, nighttime starts around 6 o'clock at night. That's sunset. Actually, it's a little bit before. It's like 5:55 if you want to get real specific about it. So I'm driving down the street, and all of a sudden, I see this little Tinkerbell kind of light, and then like 2 seconds later, there's a guy dressed in all black And at night, it doesn't have to be all black. It can be blue and dark colored. And this guy is like practically in front of my car. And I'm tooling around. I'm saying it about probably 25 miles an hour. And I stop abruptly. And the guy thinks that because he has a little light in his hand, that he is impervious. And he is walking down the street like some kind of miracle. And I stop abruptly, and I don't shout or anything because I wasn't drunk. And he continued across the street. And I'm saying to myself, there is no question in my mind that I would have hit this guy easily. Because he should not be walking across the street when there's an approaching car, which is me. But if I had hit this guy, and I literally could not see him except for this little Tinkerbell light at the last second, I would have been in trouble. I would have committed murder. And I would have changed my life and ended his. But he thought that because he had a little tiny little flashlight in his hand, that he could just walk across the street anytime he wanted. And this is the problem. The Enterprise, which is America's fastest growing newspaper, enterprisenews.com, the city of Brockton has had tons of fatalities this past year and in this year by cars hitting people. And we've talked about this before. I don't specifically know the circumstances of each one of them. But there is no question in anybody's mind, if you drive a car, there's no question that tons of people are crossing the street illegally and without any type of concern about being hit. They are reckless. But in our society, you can't just knock people off because they're acting like assholes. Wish you could, but you can't. I read from the Enterprise because I can. Ward 3 City Councilor Dennis Inieri was driving through downtown Brockton last Friday when he had to stop abruptly. He says, I was up on Main Street, and the next thing you know, the person is in front of me, walking across the street, and they're looking at their phones or texting, not even paying attention. That is true, Dennis. We've all gone through it, and we all go through it all the time. These and they're usually kids. They just don't get it. And their friends are dying by being hit from cars, but they just don't seem to care. They think that they're walking around with a bubble around them. Kids, you've got to understand, there's these gigantic metal and iron objects that can kill you in an instant and mangle your body into the size of an accordion. But why don't you care about that? Why do you feel that you're so impervious to that? Do you understand that the people driving the cars could be texting or on their phones just like you are and may not see you, especially if it's nighttime? They could be distracted. They could kill you. Is death something that you desire in your puny little lifetime? That wasn't all said in the article. That was all my opinion. Now back to the article. As officials work to find ways to curb the high number of car accidents involving pedestrians in Brockton this year, many have targeted jaywalking as a contributing factor. Yes, finally someone's listening to me. I mean, I hope people listen to me, but someone believes me. The major reason that people are being hit by cars is because they're being hit by cars. Don't put yourself in a position where you can be hit by a car. Seriously, man, you're on your feet. You can go anywhere. You can go on the sidewalk. You can go into a store. You can play in your backyard. Cars pretty much stay in the street. There might have been some circumstances where cars jumped the curb and killed people. Those are circumstances that are specific and possible. And you must even think that way when you're walking. But most of them, I have a feeling that most, if not almost all of them, are from people not watching where they're walking. and paying reckless regard to these large death traps coming at them. Those cars aren't going away. But kids, if you keep walking recklessly, you're going away. Since January 1st, there have been 74 motor vehicle crashes involving pedestrians. 74 since January 1st. That's according to Brockton Police. 6 have been fatal, 5 of which have occurred since August 14th. That's crazy, man. In 2013, there were 87 crashes involving pedestrians, only one of which, a December accident, proved fatal. You know, fatal's horrible. It's like the ultimate ending, but it doesn't have to be fatal to have tremendous damage done to your body, tremendous pain, tons of operations to try to get you mobile again. Fatal doesn't tell the whole story. But of the 75 incidents this year, just 14 have resulted in citations or charges being issued to the motorists involved. Yeah, because it probably wasn't their fault. But officials say they lack the legal firepower to deal with what might be the real issue. Yes, let's say it. The rampant disregard many pedestrians have for the rules of the road and for their own safety. Thank you for saying that. Finally, someone's saying it. Police say the only laws in place to prevent jaywalking is an outdated state law that provides a $1 fine for the first 3 offenses. Seriously, man, a $1 fine? That's like going to the dollar store and buying something stupid, which we all do. The fine for offenses after that is, get this, how far it goes up from a dollar. Goes to $2. Holy crap, man. That really is a joke, said Dennis in Erie City Council. It should be looked at. There's no doubt about it. It's not a cure-all, but I think it's certainly something that should be changed. Ward 2 City Councilor Thomas Monahan echoed in Erie's sentiments. This is a joke. You should probably change it to $50 or $100, something that's going to hurt someone's pocketbook, Monahan said. Make it at least significant so that people will think twice about doing it. It wouldn't fix everything, but it could be a part of the solution. It could be a part of the training and education in the schools. The law was adopted statewide in 1962. It's a law that State Senator Thomas Kennedy, who is a Democrat from Brockton, man, he's been around for a long time. He said it's outdated and needs to be looked at on the state level. Back in 1962, $1 was certainly worth more than it is today, Kennedy said. It should be hefty enough that it would be a strong reminder for people to obey the law. Kennedy also referred to the lenient fines as a joke. It's a joke. The current city ordinance says that pedestrians who are within 300 feet of a crosswalk must use the crosswalk. Those who are elsewhere on the sidewalk must yield to oncoming traffic before crossing. There's also a section of the ordinance that covers those who choose to quickly dart out onto the street. See? As you see? Now, they still haven't found this hit-and-run driver. A pedestrian was struck by a pickup truck near 197 North Main Street about 10 p.m. on Friday. It was a hit-and-run accident. The woman suffered minor injuries as a result of the accident. Police still are searching for the driver of a dark-colored truck who fled the scene. I'm telling you, man, and it's never happened to me, but I'll tell you, and I'm not saying I'd do this, but if I hit a pedestrian, I'd certainly stick around to find out if they're okay, but man, I'd be pissing in my pants. I go, oh my God, what did I do? I didn't do anything. It wasn't my fault, but look at what I've done as a result. It's a horrible situation, and who am I pissed at? Am I pissed at bad drivers? Yeah. Am I pissed at the kids that dart into the street? More so, yes, I am. More so. Because you are like the epitome of stupidity. And if you ever want to see the epitome of stupidity, go to the Brockton High School, which is on Belmont Street. Actually, come to the podcast on Wednesday and take a look at this, and you'll be able to see exactly how stupid some of these kids are. They cross the street with cars coming at them, timing so that they can get across the street before the car hits them. It's like some kind of Donkey Kong game or something like that. It's phenomenal. And some of these kids actually just walk into the street and saunter and don't even look up, figuring that you hit me, you got the problem. Maybe I'll be dead, but man, you're going to be in trouble more. I want a dope slap, like John Shanahan says in his dope slap commercial. I want to dope slap all of those kids. Here's the answer. In every single classroom, in every single city and town, it must, every year, especially on the first day of school, an entire hour must be spent between teacher and student to tell those stupid little kids that you can die if you cross the street wrong. Don't take chances. This is serious. Do not play with a car. Because if a car has to swerve not to hit you, it's going to swerve and hit another car. You're going to cause a chain reaction all because you wanted to cross the street and be belligerent. You never cross the street looking at a cell phone or looking at a phone. You look both ways. You be very, very careful and you cross a crosswalk. And if crosswalks are not available, you be as careful can be. You be observant and you be smart. That should be taught on the first day of school in every classroom. Tell me that I'm wrong. I am not wrong. I am right. And there's no reason why it shouldn't be done. And I don't care if it's done every single year and kids say, I know, I know, I know. I don't care, kids. You're going to be told every single year on the first day of school. That would be my suggestion. Anybody listening to me? That would be my suggestion. Let's get it on. Let's do this right. Pisses me off, man. Pisses me off. Blaming the drivers. I think every one of us have been in a situation where we've had to stop short because somebody went darting into the street. Whether it be a kid chasing a ball, or whether it be a teenager or a kid going to school who just thinks that they are the king shits of the world and nothing's ever going to happen to them. And that they just walk the world in a bubble of safety, and that everything's a miracle.
Here comes a miracle.
Yeah, you be careful, you damn idiot kids.
The one we've been waiting for.
Oh, pisses me off. Something so simple in life as being observant, taking chances, texting in your car. Just stupid, because you know so well that if you look down for a split second and take your eyes off the road, in a split second, a car in front of you can stop short instantly. A kid can dart into the street instantly. And that split second is the difference between life and death, and it could be your life and death. Don't play with that crap, kids. If not for yourself, for your families, you can have all the education you want and be as smart as you think you can be, but you can be the biggest dumbass in the world if you don't take care of yourself and be observant. The observant ones shall survive. All the others, you're just damn lucky. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, goodbye, everybody.